Hey, it's Bill Simmons. We're not just reacting to the NBA playoffs on my podcast. We're also doing it on the Ringer NBA show and the Mismatch podcast. They are coming after some of these NBA playoff games. Check it out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights on the Ringer Podcast Network.
My Eagle enthusiasts, it's Fairway Rollin' presented by FanDuel. Major season is here, and you can get in on all the long drives, big putts, and major moments with FanDuel. Check out live PGA Tour bets like longest drive, round leaders, matchups, birdie or better, and more. Plus, track every shot in the app and watch select par three holes while you place your bets. Download the app today and bet with FanDuel, the official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 years old or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
Sweat. You mean armpit tears of weakness brought about by poor deodorant choices? Say goodbye to that salty river that floweth from your underarm with Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Made for 24/7 sweat protection with daily use and an undeniable smell of cedarwood and lime. Giving you the confidence you need to quit your job, move to a remote island, and spend your days frolicking with dolphins. Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Shop Old Spice now.
Very special golf podcast unlike any other. This is your PGA Championship recap on Fairway Rollin'. The golf podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I am your starter, Joe House. I am joined by my incomparable accomplice, Nathan Hubbard, our PGA Tour correspondent on the ground. We're jumping right into it. Justin Thomas is once again a major champion, Nathan Hubbard.
We just saw a lot of guys take pretty big dumps in their pants coming down the stretch. And the guy with the most experience and who we talked about certainly had the most pressure on him coming into this week because he only measures himself at this point on major wins. And it had been a while. That's the guy who was able to keep his poop not in his pants and get
it
done.
Where did it go instead?
It went into that three wood.
Yeah.
That he drove the green. I mean, look, round three, House, he was awful on Saturday. He lost over a stroke and a half on approach. He was 64th in approach. And guess what? Willie Z today was 64th in approach. Lost a stroke in a third, but still, I mean, we talked at the beginning of the week about how around the green was going to be the stat, and it turned out to be. I mean, that is what saved Justin Thomas today. He was 11th around the green overall for the week. He made some really, really big saves when he had to, and God, I wish Bones could caddy our lives.
So this is what I wanted to touch on. JT trailed by 7 entering this round, the largest 54-hole comeback to win a major since the 1999 Open Championship, which I'm pretty sure was the Van de Velde.
Was. And we just saw some Mito Van de Velde similarities.
I'm not going there with Mito. I think it was one sort of spasm. He didn't compound the mistake. He just made a mistake that you can't make. But the thing I wanted to follow up with you on as it relates to JT is we were sort of mulling over, we were discussing amongst ourselves the impact of him as basically Tiger's emissary, his Tiger's ambassador, Tiger's concierge in the return to competitive golf by Tiger Woods, and the role that JT played in ushering back Tiger to the Masters. It seemed to have an effect on his own ability to go compete at the Masters. And we wondered aloud to ours, because after that Thursday,
he was not focused.
He couldn't be. He was used up so much energy answering questions about Tiger, being there for Tiger, practice rounds with Tiger, you know, those massive crowds. And I mean, to his credit, I think he made the right decision. I don't think he did anything wrong. It just seemed to have the effect of depriving him of the level of focus first thing Thursday morning that he needed.
Yes.
And this to me, and you know, we've wondered aloud, the element of this that we've both been very excited by is the impact of Bones, a grown ass adult, a grown ass, you know, not a caddy, a teammate, really,
yes.
You know, and a counselor and an advocate and, you know, an expert out there helping you, or a full on Sherpa. And how about Bones catching a W at the PGA Championship that Phil's not there to defend? Suck it, Phil.
I would love to see how much time Bones and JT took over the shot on 18 relative to the amount of time that Mito and his caddy took over that shot on 18 that Mito put in the water. I mean,
you mean the tee balls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mito's caddy used to caddy for Scheffler, and you wonder if Scheffler moved on to Ted Scott in part because of a moment like that. I mean, it's really on the caddy there
well,
to slow his
rude,
ass down.
Though.
You got to slow him down.
He's literally standing on the 72nd hole of the golf tournament with the one stroke lead, and par wins the golf tournament.
You got to slow him down.
The thing that I
hit anything.
If I was going to levy any kind of criticism isn't the right word, because Mito doesn't deserve to be criticized. That's a mistake. That's a mistake in a major tournament. That's what happens. Show me all the tournaments that Mito's had that kind of lead in, been on the leaderboard. You know, it's not, there's no list. It's a one of one for him. He doesn't have any experience at this. Not making birdie on 17 was the reason that he didn't win the golf.
That's exactly right.
So
he had to do it, and that's the mistake.
And that the opportunity was there, and they didn't execute.
Look,
so
he shot a 75 today. I mean, he lost a stroke and a half putting. It wasn't just the tee shot on 18, like you said.
No.
The moment was 17.
If he made par on 18, he would have won the golf tournament.
Yeah.
So
we can say that.
The tee shot.
We can say that about a lot of guys, though. Willsey,
right.
We talked about the putter. He misses the 4.5-foot putt on 16, makes bogey. That would have won him
it.
The tournament.
Cam won the
Young,
golf tournament.
Double bogey 16. Fitzpatrick plays the back in plus two, including...
including
a total choke on 17.
That guy. Don't anybody say that guy to me.
What did you do? Fitzpatrick is going to get all of this.
The USM at the country club. It's going to be one of the storylines going into Brookline. Just don't say that dude's name to me.
What happened?
We watched him today, not up to the moment, not up to the task. Not one time did I watch Matthew Fitzpatrick and think to myself, he's got what it takes to win the golf tournament. Not one moment this entire round. And he's right there. He put himself in position. Everybody gives him rightful credit for being the kind of grinder that he is. But don't say that dude's name to me in the context of a major championship. Please don't.
Abe Anser had a chance, too. He shot plus three. I mean, these guys all let it go. And so is it any surprise, looking at that leaderboard, that the guy with the experience who could make the birdie on 17, get a perfect tee shot on 18, a perfect shot on it, you know, and then get into that playoff, play the 13th so well, play the 17th so well again. Like, is it any surprise that the guy with the experience won? This is what JT needed to get off the schneid. He needed to be coming down a major, you know, the throat of a major on Sunday, not going up against, you know, Spieth or Rahm, but against some guys who maybe we're going to fade.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that Willie Z faded. It was an awesome week for Willie Z.
Yeah.
And, you know, I actually had him at 32-1 coming into this golf tournament. So it would have been a hell of a payday.
He surprised me. I mean, he putt so well in the early part of the week in particular. I mean, round one, he gained over 3.5 strokes.
He led the field in strokes gained putting.
And yes, round two,
he made bombs.
Round two, he gained over 2.5. You got to the weekend and he lost a stroke and a half yesterday. And today he lost, you know, he basically was even in that category, but he's so close. And I loved his post round comments. First of all, I loved him applauding for JT on the green. And then I loved his post round comments where he just said, "We know how to do this. I can do this. That's what I learned. We're really close and we're going to get it done."
Hey, he ain't wrong. He's going to go win one of these and he's not going to back into it. He's not going to, you know.
No, I love the way he played.
10 spots out and be like, "Oh, I put up a number and I hope everybody falls apart all around me."
Yeah. I mean, saving bogey from the cart path was huge. That was like, it took him, first of all, why does it take two rules officials for like a standard drop? Like, is it the players that are slowing shit down? Is it, you know, come on. But that bogey on six could have been way, way worse. He talked his way through it, hit a great shot off the cart path, and that kept him in it. I just feel badly for the kid because I think, you know, that he needs to be at from 11 to 15 feet, not from 4 to 8.
That's true. And that's not that dissimilar from another guy whose putting has been an issue, Jordan Spieth. Let's play glass half full, glass half empty.
Yeah,
with a few guys, just to go through. I think I know the answer. Cameron Young, glass half full, right?
Yeah, it's got to be half full. I don't think he thought he was in that tournament.
Back to back 67s, you know, 67 Friday, 67 Saturday.
Yeah, it just kind of felt like after his bogey on 14. He didn't seem to be sort of mentally there as much. And that led to the double on 16. And man, you know, if he doesn't play the back in two over, he's the champion.
You know, the low score of the day amongst three different guys, including JT, was 67.
Yeah.
Tommy Fleetwood and Kevin Streelman were the other two to shoot 67. Rory came out.
You got nervous. You got
heater.
Yeah, I got the standard Sunday text from House.
I wasn't nervous. It was like, I know exactly what's going to happen. I wasn't angry. I didn't have emotion. It was Rory.
There was colorful language in the text.
It was the usual Rory. Like, oh, look, here goes Rory. Rory's going to do his Rory thing. He didn't birdie after the fifth hole.
No. I mean, the bogey on 17 was inexcusable, but it's not like he was going to get into the playoff. But
still shot 68. Would love to have a forensic review from an uninterested observer, some kind of golf expert, of what was going on Saturday. I don't want any of his explanation of it. I want to sit down and really go through it.
But two doubles. A double and a triple.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get it.
So what do you
say? KVV wrote a great piece after Saturday about JT and Rory, which he's going to have to retract at this point because JT came back. He said, yeah. But I mean, it was a beautiful piece that sort of talked about these two guys and how hard they're pressing and how the air just sort of inexplicably came out of the balloon that day.
Well, I what do you think for Rory? Is it half full or half empty?
What do we even think? For Rory, this is Saturday's extraordinarily disappointing. So I think he finally beat the first round jitters, shoot 65 on Thursday, and we're all like, this is going to be it. I think it's just concerning why he can't play four solid days in a major championship.
I feel like it's concerning. I agree with you. I'm going to call it glass half empty.
Yeah.
Cam Smith with another top 15 finish in a major. Tiny bit disappointed that he didn't really ever go super low.
Yeah.
But you know, that this golf course, and let's just go ahead and do a couple minutes on the combo of the golf course and the weather. And the challenge that was
great
that
test
was posed this week. Yeah. So we wondered at the beginning of the week if this was going to sort of have a U.S. Open feel. I don't think that, you know, the golf no. course itself was not playing in a U.S. Open kind of format. It was just an entirely sufficient challenge all by itself because of the combination of the conditions. You know, we had virtually all four seasons over the course of that golf tournament, right? Summer yeah. on Thursday, winter on Saturday, spring today, and, you know, I mean, just a very peculiar weather pattern over the 4 days of competition. And the course, look, you know, I would have, my guess for the winning score was 6 under, and it came in at 5 under.
Yeah.
And that's really just a function of how the weather impacted it. It clearly caught some guys. I mean, poor Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah. He got hit pretty good.
Yeah, there's no reason to do glass half full or half empty with him.
No. I mean, Morikawa, too. He makes the cut on the number, but meh.
We didn't really have any high hopes for Morikawa. It didn't feel like his kind of venue. We weren't. Victor, once again, tied for 41st. Still not inside the top 12.
I know. He barely lost any strokes around the green, too. It's not like he was horrible with the wedge. He just, he didn't putt very well this week.
I want to see who Patrick Cantlay beat. It wasn't very many people.
No, he only beat a couple of head pros.
Yes.
Yeah, he beat about 10.
Right. Exactly right. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you will always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I was really impressed by Mito. Over the course of the tournament, I got myself more and more comfortable with the idea of him winning.
Yeah.
And kudos to the CBS for going and finding Joaquin Niemann and having him come sit with them for a little bit and give us some real, thoughtful and helpful context for Mito and what he's all about and what he might be feeling. And Joaquin, all credit to that guy. What an impressive bit of you know, television composure and, you know, really sincere.
He also totally facepalmed after 18.
Who?
Joaquin. He was sitting behind 18, and just when he saw Mito do it, he literally facepalmed on camera.
Because, I mean, that's his buddy, his boy.
Yeah, of course. It's tough. If
you did that on 18, I would facepalm.
You would laugh.
No, I would do no such thing. I don't revel in anyone's misfortune. Except for Patrick Cantlay's.
Look,
not even Patrick.
The thing about Mito is that second and third round, his putter was just on fire. I mean, he gained 3.5 strokes each of those rounds putting. And that's the one where, if you go into a Sunday and you're thinking about the live betting component, the guy who's been just unconscious with his putter, that's not something that usually keeps up for 4 days. No, yes.
That's who you fade.
And so if you'd done that today, that was the smart bet in the morning.
Except for it would have been making you nervous during the course of the round today.
I guess. I mean, he was plus five. You do a head-to-head at least,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a head-to-head would have been the right play for sure, 1,000%. Yeah. Yes, because you would have got decent odds. And, I mean, he was definitely – I didn't look at the head-to-head odds. I didn't have a chance this morning. I'm sure he was favored over Willie Z by something and Cameron Young and Fitzpatrick. I mean, I'm sure you could have got some decent odds.
It's going to be very interesting to see where JT goes from here because he definitely – just needed to be uncorked a bit in a tournament like this. And he certainly seized it down the stretch in his own way, but he needed a lot of help. I wonder if this unearths him for the rest of the year.
Well, you know, I really feel like there was some sentiment early in the day. We were looking for some drama with this golf tournament. Where is the drama going to come from? We thought the golf course might produce some of it, right? And that 18th hole, boy, is that something. What a great finish. And by the way, speaking of, how about that aggregate three-hole playoff that the PGA uses?
You mean there's a good way to do it?
Oh, my God. Those holes, 13, yeah. 17, 18 at Southern Hills
just
is
great.
Absolutely tits up. Fantastic. I mean... JT could have gone three under. He just, you know, cozied that putt on 18, yeah, right up there after two majestic shots. But, you know, to the credit of JT, it's the thing that we always ask for. It's the thing that we celebrate. Go win the golf tournament.
Yeah.
Somebody please go win the golf tournament. And what we ended up with was a fantastic playoff between JT and all of the stories around. You know, when's that moment going to come for him again? Doesn't he have the talent for multiple majors? Yes, yes, yes. When will the bones thing come through? Hasn't he been playing great? You know, where do we see it after the players last year? Because that players win last year was awesome as well.
Yeah.
And he had the round of the tournament at this most recent players, the Saturday in the weather. So we've been sort of waiting. But him paired up against Willie Z, the Z spot in a playoff like that, where the Z spot has this now
on
very,
ball striking
very,
holes.
Very, yeah, that's right. An impeccable record in majors now, Willie Z. Notwithstanding, you know, just the only one that's been a bummer was the Torrey Pines US Open. But I mean, he's there.
Yeah.
And so we had
that
great test of like, okay, the up and comer who's clearly unafraid, not afraid of the moment, not afraid of anything. It was a bummer to me that his ball striking disappeared today. That's the only thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned the stat. What was it?
He was 64th in approach. He lost a stroke and a third today.
That's not his game.
No.
He did save some putts that I didn't. The par save on 18 to ensure that he was in the playoff
was great.
Was incredible.
No, both
was
and incredible. The putt on 17 was huge. I mean, he missed the easy one on 16. He made two that were solid. Everybody's got an Achilles heel. Every superhero has a flaw, and Will's going to continue to work on that. And he's clearly got no problem putting himself in this position. But it's the takeaway of that putter is just really hard to watch, and the fact that he was this competitive in spite of it is a credit to just what a great golfer he is. I mean, he finished the week gaining over a stroke putting, and I walked two rounds with him last week. I would have told you there was no chance.
How many people did you see walking around the golf course holding $18 beers?
It sure sounded like there were a lot of beers consumed on that course. I mean, the Oklahoma crowd was great. And down the stretch, a couple guys got a little rowdy in the mics.
We got the crowds today. Like, thank God the weather was kind. Yeah. The golf gods were kind. They gave us a decent weather day.
Yeah.
The setup, once again, like, you know, the Kerry Haig and the PGA of America, they're always, you know, setting up the Sunday final round golf course in a manner that both permits scoring, but also lets the pressure of where the pins are like just take over for guys that aren't up to it. Guys like Matt Fitzpatrick, who wasn't up to the pressure of where those pins were today. You got to give it up to JT. He shanked one today. Shanked on the par three sixth, I think it was, and saved bogey. And that was more than anything, I think, a testament to Bones. That's the effect of Bones on the bag. The thing that you're saying you wished Mito's caddy could have convinced him of, which is just slow it down, get ourselves back in there. He made a pretty long putt to save the bogey. But it did feel like that was the right thing.
Well, he said after the round that he hopes that's his last shank like that. But keeping it together is what this is about. It's why Bones came back. It's why he brought Bones onto the bag. Like, he knew that, and I don't necessarily think Jimmy didn't keep him composed, but he seems to thrive, JT does, on that dialogue that he has with Bones. It's made him a better golfer. He's thinking through every shot. And they definitely outthought the golf course today relative to the guys who were trying to chase down that trophy.
No argument. Shout out to the homie Max Homa. That's a glass half full, right?
Yes. I think finally he's in the mix.
Top 15, he finished.
Yep. And
tied for 13th.
He kicked his butt a little bit, but it kicked everybody's butt. And I think he would have liked to play a little bit better on the weekend. That's all. But he made a lot of birdies. He just, in the heat of it, had a couple mistakes. And that can be, I think, forgiven. He really, I thought there was a real chance for Max through 13 holes yesterday on Saturday. And then he just made three bogeys down the stretch that kind of took him out of the contention.
I haven't had a chance to do the deep dive. John Rahm with the Saturday 76. Basically, that was it for him. That was his tournament. Finished six over, tied for 48th. Not a lot of John Rahm. The first two majors of the year have not been very impressive, Nate Dogg.
I think now the spotlight goes squarely over to him because I don't know that the Mexico win really counts as a big thing given the field down there.
Yeah, if you're doing my thing, like if you're not feeling very generous, you say the Mexico, oh, congratulations, you beat
half counts.
A Corn Ferry, field.
That's right. It counts, but it clearly didn't give him that momentum that, going there and winning was supposedly going to do here. And the frustration's going to continue to build for this guy because since the U.S. Open, he has not been a particularly happy golfer in terms of his performance. Now, he was great off the tee this week, and he was, that sort of standard John Rahm, but the problem has been and continues to be the putter. He also lost strokes on approach, and it's just not him. It's just not him.
That's right. Now, here is, and I saved it kind of for last, what I regard as perhaps the most interesting glass half full, glass half empty.
Tigre?
Yeah, the Tiger. What do you give the Tiger?
Always half full at this point. The fact that he can walk.
We're in lockstep.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this. Everybody's got to get rid of the expectations. There was a lot of hype coming into this one. Oh, he's walking better. Look, he can go up the hills. He's totally flushing it. Look at his divot pattern on the range. And you just forget, he's got a leg that is, not really a leg.
Bionic.
And he's always going to be in pain. It's going to be how he manages it. I was sad to see him withdraw. But it's just a reminder, we got to appreciate that the cut sweat on Friday was fucking awesome.
And that's the thing to me. So I actually didn't mind him withdrawing. I'm kind of happy. No. Yeah.
I don't want to see him shoot 79 today.
No,
fuck that.
No, that's right. What's the point? No, it demonstrates this is where he's at. He knows exactly what his limits are, where he is physically. He didn't come into this tournament like I'm all the way back. He's like, I'm just going to give it a try. And he gave it a try and he made the cut again. It's absolutely effing incredible. and then ran into the weather change yesterday, Saturday, and, you know, had nothing, couldn't get anything going, and was seriously physically laboring. Yeah. And his goal is St. Andrews. In fact, I'll be interested in seeing what's your, you know, Sunday night of the PGA Championship. Do you think Tiger tees it up at the U.S. Open?
No doubt.
Oh, you think he does? Okay.
He's going to do it. He's got 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, it's June like the 16th or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, full 3 weeks.
He's going to play.
I wondered if he might just take a little extra time. I wasn't, you know, 100% sure. But I'm rooting for it. And if he plays, if he announces that he's playing, then I'm going to bet on him to make the cut again.
Why wouldn't you? He sure seems hell bent on doing it.
Why wouldn't you? Okay. Well, I think we're going to be unanimous in our plaudits and applause for Southern Hills. What was your favorite aspect of Southern Hills and your favorite hole?
I think my favorite hole was 18.
Oh, amazing.
Because I love the thinking that it forced on the players as the in all these different strategic situations. I thought I love the way the course was set up. I mean, you see, we sort of have sung the praises at this point. I think the PGA knows how to set up a really fun, interesting golf tournament. And you know, contrast that with what sometimes happens with the USGA. And it's a certainly different mindset. We didn't get all these, you know, the best players in the world competing down the stretch today, but we got a lot of great players in the thick of it. And the golf course was a determining factor, right? It wasn't a stupid birdie fest. It wasn't so impossible that good shots weren't rewarded. Good shots were rewarded and bad ones were penalized pretty severely. And there were multiple ways to play the holes. And that's all you can ask for.
That's what I love the most about this venue and why I'm so excited about, like, it immediately jumped into my like top 10 of how do I get there? How do I go see this with my own two eyes? For a course that had, you know, a pronounced elimination of trees, there was still a effing ton of trees.
Yeah,
the trees played a very prominent role.
Yeah. But, we don't need any more trees.
Your point about holes playing, you know, options of how to set up and play the holes, that finishing stretch of 16, 17, 18 is just marvelous. And
yep,
my personal favorite was 17 because it's such a swing hole. Like, eagle in play on the second to last hole is so ballsy. I just adore that opportunity and what it creates. If Mito could have made birdie on 17, I think he would have won the golf tournament.
There's no chance he doesn't, I think.
I mean, there's no reason to stand on that tee on 18 and try and snap that drive the way that he did. That was a move that actually I felt like in certain aspect I was looking in the mirror, I'm afraid to confess. who's excited? I can't really hold it against him.
Somebody said he looked like he got electrocuted when he hit that drive on 18.
he did look like that. That's a fair observation. And again, it's just a little too relatable. I wish it wasn't the case.
Oh, God.
Let's do this. This is preposterous. Early favorite for the U.S. Open. Who's your early favorite for the U.S. Open?
Well, the board says it's a four-way tie between Scheffler, Rory, Morikawa, and Rahm. I don't love what I saw from any of those guys this week.
Right.
Do
right.
you?
No.
No.
I think I like one guy better than any of the other ones on that list. And for me, off that list, I'll go first and then you tell me who you like. The guy that I like the best out of those four is Colin Morikawa. This venue is not his kind of venue. This Southern Hills thing and what it asked, you know. It's the kind of thing he did not come play a ton of practice rounds. You didn't see him, you know, all over the place. You didn't see stories of him.
Do you think that's because he didn't give a shit?
No. I mean, you know, he won the Open Championship last year by playing Lynx golf twice, once at the Scottish Open and then when he went and played. Now, it wasn't really like the weather never visited, what was that, Royal Lytham St. Anne's last year?
Yeah, and you feel like his shot making is aligned with what Brookline is going to ask for?
That is what I think, yes. So who's your name out of those four? Or do you not like those four? Do you have somebody else?
I mean, I don't know how you don't look at Justin Thomas as the favorite for the US Open.
Okay. I knew you were going to go there. I love it.
It's only 3 weeks away. He's just gotten over the hump. We just saw him not... Look, what's been our criticism of Justin Thomas down the stretch? It's that sometimes Dr. Snappy or Dr. Wipey Fade come into play under
pressure.
Absolutely
true.
And he slowed way down today. I mean, he did, you know, obviously the shank was the shank, but on the back nine, he played the best of anybody. And that's why he won the golf tournament. And he has another club in his bag. The 15th club in his bag is his caddy.
Oh, man. It is such an advantage. What a reminder of that. Look at the two major winners of this season, right? And who's on the bag? Two guys with multiple majors under their belt. So that might be a reason as between the four guys that we talked about.
I'll say the four guys who have majors sitting on their coffee tables in their houses, we got a classy list right now. Rahm, Morikawa, Scheffler, Thomas.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm also going to, as soon as I wake up tomorrow morning, bet Will Zalatoris to win the U.S. Open.
Why not? I mean, by the way, you're going to get odds. You're going to get 33-1 odds.
Those are the odds that I like. I want the same odds I just had on this one.
That feels terrific.
I never took the expectation of him winning this golf tournament. I wasn't counting up the few thousand bucks that were potentially at play. I like rooting for him.
Yeah.
I won't watch him putt four footers. I just refuse to look at the TV. But
No. But the top five is warranted now. He has proven that he belongs. And again, I think the leap that we saw from last week is all you need to say this is a guy who works on his game, can course correct faster. I mean, that's what the best ones do. And he put in the work and found something and turned it around in just a week.
100%. Nate Dogg, I think that's it. It was a really good PGA Championship. It took a little while to get going. You know, it was long.
Been a bummer of a day.
They were long days.
Shitty. Yeah.
Kudos. I enjoyed the television broadcast for the most part. Any comments on the TV?
No, let's keep the shadows of the boom cameras out of the shot, guys. But otherwise.
And maybe 10 less shots of Justin Thomas's dad.
They kind of turned him into stage dad. It was a little much. Like,
we've got enough. We know all about it. It's not a new story.
Do you think Ricky was behind the green this time?
I didn't see him. Did you see him?
I didn't. I mean, they just kept showing his parents and not any of his friends or his fiance for that matter for a while. I don't think his dad isn't a stage dad, you know? So like, why do we got to turn him into that anyway, whatever. It's the only story.
It is the PGA and he's a PGA pro, blah, blah, blah. Ricky, I think, is thinking about Saudi Arabia, but we'll save that for another day. The Colonial is this week. Our recommendation is find ball strikers. Don't worry about guys that hit the ball far. Find ball strikers.
Last guy in, Mark Hubbard.
Hey, there we go.
We're playing.
That's a ball striker. That's a good one. Build a team that features. You don't need length. You need accuracy at Colonial.
And we got a good field next week. So this is going to be a golf tournament that's worth watching.
And it's a sprint to the U.S. Open. It's literally right around the corner. Nate Dogg, have a good week. We will be back next week recapping the Colonial, previewing the tournament that follows the Colonial. I'm too tired to look it up right now. Until then, birdie buddies, par-saving pals, eagle enthusiasts, let's hit them straight out there.